Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WTIC. Yeah, so we're talking about the bias in the media. Played some sound from Public Radio, their podcast. Robert in Cheshire, hi.
Good afternoon, Todd. Radio Moscow has always colluded in the background. Remember years ago there was this thing called Journal List with a bunch of the journalists that were colluding in the background and coordinating their stories? I have every belief, I don't know it for a fact, that NPR does that along with other news organizations. And yeah, it is. They're out there. They're simply coordinating their message with the Democrat National Party and whoever else, or taking their cues from the Democrat National Party to make sure.
So you view them as being completely conscious of what they're doing, not that it's that they're living
absolutely.
In a bubble.
I mean, it fits with their bias. It fits with their background. It fits with who they are. But they are very well aware of what they're doing. They're using the right words, so they can't be hammered overtly, but they're making sure they get their point across to their listenership.
Well, I don't know. It sounds to me like they can be hit overtly because the propaganda they're putting out is just stunning.
Right, it is. It's propaganda. There's zero question of that in my mind. And again, We as a nation have to stand up and say, is this what we want or not? And I think there's a bunch of people that are just fed up with it, absolutely, totally fed up with it. Certainly I am. That's why. And you give me a great outlet for my rants. Thank you.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're making use of the rant line. Thank you, Robert. Steve calling from Springfield. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How you doing?
Go ahead, sir.
I just been following the news. I guess Michigan, their legislature, they're going to allow counting ballots like 2 weeks after the presidential election. Pennsylvania is like 3 days after. But the thing with Pennsylvania is they have a Republican, a Republican Senate and House in
Governor?
That state.
Oh, okay.
So they could pass legislation to correct the problem.
Yeah, but legislators have to survive in the place that they are, and they don't like to go too far from what they consider to be where the average, the center voter is. So you often find them not standing up and pushing back the way you would expect, just like in Connecticut, where there are actually Republicans, but they're scared to be Republicans. They're scared to be attacked by the left-wing hate machine. They're scared of being marginalized by being associated with Trump, so they play it cautious and they don't like to be out front fighting. This is the big struggle right now. We have to revitalize the Republicans here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But the thing is, if a certain amount of voter fraud happens in this election, isn't there such a thing as a certain percentage of statistical fraud with the count? Couldn't they get?
Steve, I'm sorry. Hold on if you want, and we can finish up your thought. 860-522-9842. Thanks for being here on WTIC. It is fun to get together, particularly on Fridays.
I covered a report back in 2018 by the Southern Poverty Law Center that found many teachers and textbooks still do not talk about slavery and its legacy much or well. For example, focusing on the uplifting stories of Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass without also exploring the awful truth of the slavery that they escaped. You know, what it was, how its legacy survives, and the toxic ideology of white supremacy.
This is all such nonsense. It's delightful to hear. Steve in Springfield. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing? I just had like a couple other points I wanted to bring up.
Go ahead.
To me, it would seem that if there's a high percentage of voter fraud, there could be like recounts in a lot of states, and you probably could bring it to the Supreme Court and get it thrown out. Because I think we're going to have a worse scenario than we had in the 2000 election. And the other point I wanted to bring up, I mean, there's a possibility they could be delaying the election so that the Speaker of the House becomes the interim. But what if the Republicans wind up winning the House? And what if Congress isn't? What if this delay prevents Congress from being sworn in on January 3rd? You know, some of these strategies might backfire on them.
It could, and maybe. I mean, we don't know really what they're up to, Steve. We don't know why they are so determined to be so destructive to our electoral system as to implement a new methodology of voting, a new practice that many states just don't know how to execute, don't have experience executing in large numbers. So it's going to be messy. But I think the key comes down to what you said. What if the Republicans win? What if the Democrats win? It depends where the popular opinion is. It depends who takes power. Jim in Manchester, hi.
Hey, Todd. The politicians come and go, the presidents, Republicans and Democrats, but there's an entity that stays in power all the time, and that is our intelligence agencies. They are the same people that stay in administration after administration. They have immense power. We had hearings in the 60s called the church hearings, and they were criticized by a lot of people. He was a Democrat, Church. And at the time,
Senator Frank Church, yeah.
Frank Church, correct. And at the time, I remember thinking, because I was a Republican, strong-thinking Republican, that he was a really bad hearings. But those hearings are really interesting if you look at them. Then one of the things that they
are they on YouTube?
I think they probably are. I think they probably are. But they're long hearings. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't imagine the whole thing is on because they went on for some time. But one of the things they uncovered was a thing called Operation Mockingbird, which was the CIA's efforts to control the media and to influence the media. And the ex-CIA head, I think it was under Carter, and I can't remember his name, but he was the guy that got killed in the boat. He was found in his boat slumped over. This had to be in the 80s or so. And in any case, he basically said that, you know, all the media, every media, major media source is CIA. I mean, it's all intelligence agencies that control it all. So when we talk about the media being biased, they're definitely biased, but there's more design and more planning and more intent than I think a lot of people give credit for.
So you see a hand controlling the puppets.
Yeah, well, you do. And it's worn out by the history. I mean, and think about it. Think about the intelligence agencies. These are strong. They don't leave. You look at all the top guys of the NSA and the CIA, they stay all the way through. They don't leave administrations. Okay, this happens.
Yeah, well, that's what the deep state is all about. We saw this with James Comey actively trying to destroy the Trump presidency and then admitting that he was trying to get a special counsel appointed. So, yeah, there's that. I mean, I think the dynamic people are aware of and suspicious of, but that it's all controlled by the CIA, I don't think is. It's not something I've heard before. Thank you for that, Jim. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Don't forget, in about 20 minutes, we do the rant line, 860-751-4698. Let's go up to Enfield. Johnny, you're next on WTIC.
Yeah, hi, Todd. In prepared statements, United States Attorney William Barr said, the CCP virus lockdown is the greatest intrusion into individual liberty since slavery. And in my opinion, this is a stunning and strong rebuke of socialism.
That statement, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
And why do you think it? Why do you think it's important? Where do you see it taking us? Do you see it having impact, causing some good thing to happen? Because it's such a strong statement that it's one of those statements that makes people on the right, I think, feel happy and appalls people on the left. So adds to the feeling of polarity without necessarily adding any.
Todd, what I think that this is extremely important to emphasize how important our liberties and our freedom is, because it seems to me, from everything I can see from the socialists in here in Connecticut, that they're just trying to make a big power play here and take our liberties and our freedom away from us.
Well, they are. I think you're right. But if I'm just curious about what the best way is to approach it. So here are the headlines on Barr. The painful absurdity of Attorney General William Barr's slavery comment from CNN. Barr criticizes prosecutors, makes incendiary comments on slavery and pandemic from NPR. Bill Barr compares coronavirus lockdown to slavery, CNN. Bill Barr, Black Lives Matter movement, not interested in Black Lives, Huffington Post. It adds to the polarity of the moment rather than breaking through somehow and bringing people together to a common understanding. I don't know if there's a way to do that, but that's what I'm always hoping for.
Well, the way I see it is that those news organizations don't have no credibility to me. So, you know, people can listen to them, that's fine. But to me, they aren't telling the truth, and they're just putting their own opinion to what they want to do, and that's how I see it.
Yeah, I see it that way too, for the most part. Johnny, thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. Is that where you are? Is there a media source you believe? Is there one you feel like you get truth from? I was saying this to Michael Harrison first hour of the show today. I was saying that I feel like we have become the journalists, those of us in the opinion business, because at least we discuss things trying to figure out what the truth is. And the mainstream media is just pounding their left-wing anti-Americanism all the time. And I don't know that either side can listen to the others, but I think that's the goal. And certainly that's my goal. I want to be able to provoke people to think. I know I can't catch everybody. I know that a liberal who hears me talk will just think I'm appalling and outrageous and doing all the things that I'm saying maybe that Bill Barr is doing. But I do try to do outreach because I think ultimately what we talk about is the truth. It is true that government has grown tremendously in ways that are so far removed from the intent of the American system of government that it's bizarre to even think it's the same country. We are not supposed to have a federal government so powerful that it can force the kind of growth on us that it has forced on us. We are not supposed to have a government that is so out of control in Washington that it runs us into debt in numbers that are that it is said by people who know these things that we will never pay off that debt. It's too big. $30 trillion. How do you think about paying off $30 trillion? How do you do it? It's beyond comprehension that smart people are dumb enough to allow themselves to be conned into having the state of Connecticut be in the financial situation it's in today. It's unbelievable that a state as sophisticated as Connecticut, with so many educated, intelligent voters, mostly shrugs over Jolly Ned declaring that there is no democracy in the state for the better part of a year. And really, there's very little said in return. How can that be in America? This is America. We are supposed to be committed to our life of liberty. We are supposed to be big believers in our system of government. Let's hear
We're
it,
doing Mike. This for one reason and one reason only, to keep you safe.
That is a dangerous statement from an elected official. It's the cheapest of the cheap cons. Do we need Ned to keep us safe? Did Ned keep... Oh, back to my stats that I ran by Michael Harrison early. The numbers are stunning. They remain stunning. 4,488 people dead in the state from COVID. 94%. And I remember we talked about this a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago. And I went through these numbers a few times. And they were amazing numbers. In the same vicinity, I think it was 94% of the dead over the age of 60. Now, Michael got mad when I brought this up, but I think this proves my point that it's crazy to have a singular response to a disease that attacks old people. And the proof of that is what happened in the nursing homes and the assisted livings in the state of Connecticut. Who could support a response to a virus that says, leave people to die in large numbers in nursing homes while the rest of the state basically suffers no problem? So 4,219 of the dead, of the 4,488, 94% are over the age of 60. Clearly, the only intelligent way to respond to this virus is to, the only way is to target your support to the people who are most vulnerable and let the rest of the people. Guess how many people under the age of 60 have died of COVID in the state? Can't be that many. 260.
We're doing this for one reason and one reason only, to keep you safe.
259 people in the state under the age of 60 have died of COVID. 4,488 people over the age of 60 have died of COVID. Does it make sense to treat everybody the same way? If New Haven County has 1,600 deaths, does it make sense to have the same policy there as Windham County with 14 deaths? Does that make sense? Mike joins us from Stamford. Hi, Mike.
Todd, thank you. So I told your producer you're not saying enough, Todd. You do a phenomenal job, man, and I appreciate it. I wonder if you could talk about the control of thought, the overregulation. This is no longer a free country. Political correctness drives what we say, what we think. There are enemies of the state everywhere, particularly the Department of Education, the teachers' unions. We are so fraught with regulation, and we are mired in thought control. This is not a recognizable country. One of the founding fathers. You're absolutely correct. We have so been removed from what this country was intended to be, slowly but surely, and we are no longer the country the Constitution intended us to be. What can we do?
Well, we can talk about it, make people conscious of it. I like to say that 50 years ago, if you were one of the people who now controls the Democratic Party, the AOC crowd, the moving energy, the real driving force of the Democratic Party, 50 years ago, you would look and say, oh, how do we ruin America? How do we destroy it? How do we make it into a communist country, or something close enough that that kind of language can be used where we are right now? How can we do that? It's impossible. You would have gone to your organizational meeting in New York City for your communist party in your block, and you would have said, there's no way to pull this stuff off. You guys are crazy. But here we are. So let's be as optimistic and as conniving as they were and try to bring liberty back.
Can we do that through? Yeah, you are the gadfly. Guys like you, pastor in the morning, you're the gadfly. But can we bring democracy back and America back with just talk? Or are we so far beyond that that the horrible alternative is now a realistic option?
Yeah, I don't know. All we have to do is win some elections, and all that takes is organization and determination. And let's get to work. Thank you, Mike. Let's get to work.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.